the November 15th, 2023 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everybody aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. And this meeting is being recorded for those purposes. We'll do a roll call of members. Tom DeDonatis.
Present.
Mike Angelo.
Here.
Bill Tefuto.
Here.
And Steve Seidel, that's me, I'm here. Please note, Lindsay Drew is absent. Okay, can I have a motion to approve the minutes of the October 11th, 2023 meeting?
So moved.
Thank you, Mike.
I'll second.
Thank you, Tom. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, those minutes pass unanimously. All right, before we get started with the rest of the meeting, just make a few requests here to everyone present. As you can see, we have a pretty full room tonight. We also have a full agenda. We have four hearings tonight. And so in the interest of making sure that everyone's heard and at the same point making sure that we keep things moving along, I'm going to ask the applicants to, you know, please stay on point and keep in mind we do have your applications and we've reviewed your applications, so you can assume that we've reviewed those. But you do need to make sure you still give a overall description of the project and what you're asking and make sure you're covering those key criteria in the zoning ordinance, whether it's for a variance or a special exception, that you're covering those key criteria that justifies the what you're requesting, okay? We will certainly have questions from the board, and then once we finish questions from the board, we will open up each hearing for public comment. And so therefore, people here from the public that wish to comment, you will need to come up to the podium. And this is true for the applicants as well. Come up to the podium. We need to swear you in. The court reporter will do that. You'll need to state your full name and your address. And the court reporter will swear you in. And then once that is done, then you can begin your testimony. I'm going to ask you to limit your comments to 3 minutes just so we can keep things moving along. Also, if someone has already commented on the things that you wish to comment on, it's perfectly fine to come up and indicate that you are in agreement with that person's comments, or that you want to be in the record as also supporting that person's comments. You don't necessarily need to repeat. If you're going to say exactly what they were saying, you don't need to repeat that word for word, but you can get yourself on the record providing testimony that you also have those same concerns or comments or issues, okay? I also want to make clear what the jurisdiction of this board is as opposed to other entities within the township. So we are here tonight to hear a specific issue for either a variance or a special exception on four separate cases, okay? So in the first two cases, I believe it's a request for a variance for height. That's what this board is going to focus on. In the third case, it is a setback, side setback request. And in the third, it is is related to a sign, some aspects of the size and dimensions of a sign or signs being requested. So I'll ask you to please keep your comments focused on the issue at hand. There are a lot of other issues that may be involved in some of these cases, and those issues are better addressed with the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors and other entities within the township who will be hearing those other issues, such as traffic and other things like that. Those are not within the jurisdiction of this board tonight. Okay, Megan, is there anything else you should add?
No, you did a good job of summarizing that, Steve.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll go ahead and get started then.
Before we get started, I'd like to make an announcement. Applicants and public making comment, please make sure you're speaking into the microphone. As an example, you see how much it cuts off from being this far away. So please speak clearly into the microphone. If you need more than one microphone, if more than one person, especially in the applicant's case, where if there's a question and answer, we can provide an extra microphone to you. And if everyone could please be diligent about signing the sign-in sheet. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, David. Yeah, and if you haven't signed the sign-in sheet, please do so, because it helps us make sure we've got your name right and other things like that. We do have a court reporter here who will be recording this, as well as our staff from the Township Val over here will be doing our minutes. So to make sure we get those as accurate as possible, especially with a larger crowd tonight, everything David said is very important. Okay, so we'll get started here. So the first item is under old business, and it's a continuance in the case of Loudon Center, LLC, case number 2023-13. So if I could have those folks with the applicant who are going to be providing testimony, if everyone who is going to provide testimony with you would please come to the podium, and please give the court reporter your full name and either address or business association.
Good evening. My name is Tom Scott. I'm an attorney with the firm of Killian & Gephart in Harrisburg, at 218 Pine Street, and I'm appearing this evening on behalf of Loudon Center, LLC, and with me is Frank Nardo and also James Nardo, who are principals in that entity. And we are pleased to
We need to swear you in before we start getting into any particulars.
Will you be testifying as well?
The application before you this evening is for what we hope will be a very attractive and advantageous development to the very last southeast corner of the township, a 9.2-acre parcel that sits at the intersection of Middletown Road and Spring Creek Road. It's what's left, I believe, of was originally the Kerr Farm. The purpose of tonight's request is to receive a height variance for the buildings that are anticipated to be built on that property. Do you have this particular drawing as well as part of your parcel? Okay. If you want to go back to the other one to start with, I just wanted to make sure you had that one to begin with. As you can see in its current state, the parcel is developed by a large house, a large barn, and a series of what I'm going to call nondescript garages and outbuildings. What this aerial view does not show is the feature of the property that creates the hardship that brings us here. What the feature of the property does not show is the elevational changes that exist within this property. If you look at the property, to the left is the west, to the east, and these are the general terms, to the left is west, to the right is east, the top of the property is generally north, and the bottom of the property is generally south, where the property comes in. The property itself has in excess of 50 feet of elevation differential from that left edge property line. You can see a line of trees there at the left edge of the property, right there, runs along exactly. There's a line of trees that comes down along the left edge, and then there's also a line of trees that goes around the north or the top edge of the property. Those trees are on the property and sit at the top of what is an existing 5-foot buffer berm that is already in place. From the base of those trees down to not the creek itself, but to the edge of the riparian buffer by the creek, is in excess of a 50-foot elevation change. The variance that we are requesting tonight is a 13.3 elevation extension of the existing height variance. The existing height variance in the R3 zone is 40 feet. The development that's anticipated for the property is going to be for an age-restricted active adult community on a 9.3-acre parcel. That's a 16 units per developable acre. The projected development acre for this parcel, as anticipated, would be less than that. It would be more in the neighborhood of 13.5 units per developable acre. The reason for, and the elevational change, when you view that property, I was trying to decide whether I wanted to call it a seashell or a human hand, because when you look at it, it's like this. It runs from all corners down to the creek, but especially hard elevational change from west to east going downhill and from north to south going downhill. There are two ways to develop this property pursuant to this ordinance. One way, if you use the 40-foot maximum height restriction that's in the R3 zone, this property would be developed with 8 buildings. And to develop those 8 buildings and reach the coverage limitations and the density limitations and the open space limitations, basically you're going to, first of all, there's no way to keep the barn in play. Secondly, there's going to be very little green space left once the buildings are in place and the necessary parking is in place. The answer to that is the answer that is, we believe, addresses the hardship created by the elevational changes, and that is instead of building 3-story buildings, you build 4-story buildings. And that's what this proposal would permit. The advantage of that is instead of 8 buildings, and if you could switch to that other slide now, I'd appreciate it. Instead of building 8 buildings, you end up with 6 buildings. And you can, when you first look at that, you say, well, how can you get 96 dwelling units with that little bit of parking? And the answer is because these buildings are planned to have 1 story of underground parking below each building, which significantly limits the amount of surface parking that has to be installed. The result of that, as you can see, and you can clearly see the buildings that are being, that would be constructed, the other brown spot is the barn, and the smaller brown spot is the existing house. Current intention is to leave both of those buildings in place, and that intention can be satisfied if you're building 6 buildings. On the other end, you can also see, as reflected in the application, part of the goal here is to end up with a community that is not just buildings and pavement, but also has a substantial amount of open space. I haven't exactly figured it out, but it appears to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 55% green space in the overall development. The blue lake that you see is not just a detention pond. The intention is to have that lake be an active lake with probably some sort of an aeration system in it, but it's not merely a detention pond. With the height variance that we are requesting, this development is possible and provides, frankly, a much better, at least from the developer's perspective, a much better development than what would exist if you plug in 2 more buildings. In terms of overall density, it's not going to change. In terms of overall land use and coverage, it changes dramatically. One of the standards that we need to satisfy in order to get this variance is to establish that the variance, if granted, is not going to materially adversely affect the existing neighborhood or the future development of the neighborhood. The future development is pretty easily answered because this is the last piece of ground in this neighborhood that's not developed within the township. And when you go across the street, it's a whole different kettle of fish in terms of the commercial development that exists. So it's not going to have any impact on the future development. What's its impact on the existing development? Just immediately to the north of this property is a 100-foot power line tower. The tree line that exists along the north side of the property has all of the tree lines are already existing, mature, developed pine trees that act as visual buffers. The heights of those pine trees is very close to what the height of the buildings will be if the variance is granted. In terms of the visual impact, because the property falls off so severely from west to east and from north to south, the visual impact of this additional 13 feet in height is essentially insignificant. And it is the developer's belief that the trade-off, both the trade-off for the township, the trade-off for the neighborhood, and the trade-off for the developer that you get by going up with the additional floor instead of going out with two additional buildings is a very favorable trade-off, and it's one that justifies granting a variance, recognizing that we're dealing with a challenging piece of property to develop that's consistent with the ordinance. There may very well be some reason why it's the last chunk of property in this neighborhood that has not been developed. It's because it is a challenging piece of property, and in order to develop it consistent with good planning, it's necessary to add the fourth floor, which requires the additional 13 feet. Several renderings were submitted to you with the application. The purpose of that to show is essentially the style and type of development that's anticipated and the roof pitch and everything else. I mean, obviously, another way to deal with a height restriction is to make a flat roof, and that's just a visual abomination, if I can use that legal term. These roofs would be, what's the pitch on them, Frank? Five pitch. So I believe that the application as presented meets the requirements of a variance as set forth in the ordinance. The hardship is created by extreme topography on a difficult piece of ground to develop. Certainly the hardship was not created by the applicant. It's one that is brought to the applicant by the land that exists. The development is designed to be additive to the neighborhood in the most visually and environmentally sensitive way. Obviously, by the less land that's consumed in the actual development, the greater the green space, the stormwater management calculations and the stormwater management effects are reduced. And in the end, granting the variance permits a better development than requiring the development that would be absolutely consistent with the 40-foot height limit established in the ordinance. We're open for questions.
Can you go back to the aerial for a second? Could you please point out on here which of the buildings you're proposing to retain and which ones are not?
Speak into the microphone. Yeah.
The original bank barn, and I just want to note for the record as a base for everyone to envision the height, that barn as it exists is 48 feet high. So our variance that we're requesting is 5.3 feet higher than the barn. And then the original farmhouse here. At this point, we intend on keeping.
Am I correct that the other buildings would be removed?
Correct.
Yeah, and if I can interrupt everyone for a second with that reminder, if everyone can please silence or turn off your phones. I did when I walked in the room, so thank you.
I'm sorry, did you say that was the barn is going to remain, everything else in essence is?
The barn and the farmhouse.
And that, okay. And the farmhouse.
All the other buildings will go away. Yeah, just the original barn. There's an addition on the barn here that was done several years later for the cows.
So the gray roof?
The gray roof right, okay. Right here with
and
the
then
reverse
the
gable. And then
structure
the
over there, okay.
And how will those structures be used?
Well, right now the barn, we're looking at restoring that to use as like the community center and stuff for okay. The development. The farmhouse, yet to be determined.
Questions from board members?
Good. I have a question or maybe a clarification just to avoid any confusion and to make sure that we understand and that you know we understand and possibly reduce some of the public comment. It's written in the application, and it was somewhat discussed, not in the exact same language, but it says, applicant desires to construct four-story buildings, therefore eliminating two buildings. I don't know if it's a verb tense problem or a style of writing or what, but would it, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but just for the record, would it be more accurate to say we could propose a plan with eight buildings and we could meet the ordinance with eight buildings. And in so doing, we would hit the maximum impervious coverage with eight buildings, which equates to something percentage and something square feet. In lieu of that, we are proposing six buildings. And by proposing six buildings, we are going to reduce the impervious coverage to something percent, which equates to something square foot, and thereby also increasing green space.
That's correct.
Right so far?
Correct.
All right. The trade-off is that our plan is proposing a 13.5-foot height variance.
Correct.
And the reason that we need that 13.5-foot height variance is because that's what we need to hit a target rentable square footage to make an attractive pro forma. It's not a criticism, but that's why, right? You need a minimum square footage to make the investment work, and that's why you need the 13.5 feet.
We go by unit count.
Right, okay, unit count. Essentially, it's this same at the end, so that the investment makes sense.
Correct.
Okay. It can still be developed by reducing, going back to three stories, but it just doesn't make the numbers work as well.
No, it's costing me more to do this way than more buildings with all surface parking. We're putting underground parking because we're trying to accomplish something here.
Okay.
And by just reducing the number of buildings and then still keeping surface parking, we haven't accomplished that goal. So
right.
We're going a step further, going underground with this.
No, I get that.
Parking.
All I'm saying is you could still reduce it and meet. It's just it's not favorable to
it's
do
not
that.
Favorable for what we're trying to do here.
Right.
And work with everything we can to accommodate stormwater. We can develop it with eight buildings and put all the parking on the surface, and then everyone's got buildings and blacktop.
I get it, and that's what I'm trying to point out.
All
I'm trying to point out is you could do it in accordance with the ordinance. It would be a worse impervious situation.
Exactly.
It would be a worse green space situation. The trade-off is you're going to reduce the buildings to six.
Correct.
But you want to go higher.
Correct.
I mean, the crux of it.
Correct.
And just to tie in the topography, if this were a flat plane and the neighbors were right there, we're all on the same floor and we're all on the same plane, you'd be dealing with a 50-foot building. But it's not a flat plane. The subject property drops off precipitously so that the visual impact of the higher buildings is actually less than the visual impact of a 40-foot building would be on a flat plane. I recognize that there's probably, I think the ordinance doesn't address that directly, but I think when the ordinance says that a variance can be granted where topographic features create a unique situation and create a developmental hardship, that elevational distinction can be taken into account, especially when the two work together. You have the elevation problem that creates a development problem no matter what, and it tends to solve, soften, reduce, whatever word you want to put in there, the impact of going up an extra 13 feet. Because in the width of the building, you practically go down, you fall off that 13 feet. When you walk from the west to the east, you're going downhill all the time, and some of the time you're going downhill pretty quickly.
To follow up on Bill's point, and just so I heard you correctly, you're in essence saying that if we did this by right, we could do 8 buildings, less green space, the less favorable impervious coverage, but we're choosing to spend more of our money. Is that what you're saying? Because we want to create more green space and we want to be environmentally responsible.
Good stewards of the land.
What's that?
We're trying to be good stewards of the land, and we're trying to create an atmosphere here, and we're going through extra expense to do that.
And why would you do that, honestly? Like, what's your rationale? Why would you spend more of your money to do that?
It's a choice. We don't want to just build a bunch of buildings and a blacktop parking lot. We just don't want to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it is also accurate that the more attractive the community that's created, the more marketable it becomes. It's a more marketable, the buildings are serviced by elevators anyway. And so it's a more marketable community if you have the open space, if you have the potential for the community facility, if you haven't simply, you know, maxed out your units.
Okay.
You know, there's value to creating attractive communities that people want to live in. Value to the developer, value to the township, and value to the residents. That's the goal.
I have a few other questions. So I'm not sure I'm following some of this exactly, so if you could please clarify. So do you have a sketch plan like this for 8 buildings?
Do I? I don't have one with me.
Okay, so you've not laid that out to see what that would look like?
Some preliminary stuff.
Okay. So I want to make sure I understand. So if you were limited to 40 feet, 3 stories is, I think, how you described it in your application, you're saying you're not doing subsurface parking with that?
I wouldn't intend on it. I would put all this parking on the surface then. I would put as much of the parking on the surface then as I
so why
as I
would,
could.
Why wouldn't you consider that for both, either way? Why would you do it?
Because he's doing it to create an atmosphere and a visual effect. If I lose the ability to create that with this plan, then I'm not going to do it partial. It's a trade-off. We're trying to create something here, and to do that, we have to go up and have less buildings. If I have to fill the buildings, I might as well just fill the parking lot, too. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I just wanted clarification that's your intent. So, so your intent is to not do subsurface parking with a three-story building?
Yeah, I can't say tonight that there wouldn't be any, but it wouldn't be the goal. Okay. It's a goal here to put subsurface parking to accomplish what we're after.
But it would be an option. Is that correct?
Well, it would be an option, but...
Right, okay. I think you had given us some photos that were intended to be representative of...
Of what we...
What you're proposing to do.
That was just to give everyone an idea of what we were anticipating the... general look of the buildings. Our roofs would not be quite as steep as these.
Okay.
To try and minimize the amount of variance needed, and these obviously are three-story. It's just they're existing. They're down in Elizabethtown at the Masonic Village. That's...
Yeah, and I realize they're intended to be representative, but since you submitted them, I want to make sure again we understand how that relates to what you're proposing.
Yeah.
So you're proposing this with another story.
Correct.
But still with a... sloped roof.
Correct.
And that, so 13 feet roughly per story?
No, it figures to about 10 per story, and then a five-pitch roof is where we end up with the additional height. And then the subsurface parking accounts for one, to be technical, 1.05 feet of that request because of how the township measures building height. Wherever there's an entrance and an exit to the subsurface parking, we have to account for that. So if we were just going from finished floor, we'd be asking for 12.5 feet, but because of the underground, it's 13.55.
Can you, if you go back to the sketch plan, please. So it looks... You know, again, I'm just looking at your drawing. I don't know how dimensionally accurate that is at this stage, but it looks like you have about 16 spaces in each building.
Underground.
Parking spaces underground.
Correct, because there's 16 units in a building, four per floor.
Okay.
There's one space of underground parking for each unit, and then the second space out. Right.
Okay, and then how many spaces then outdoors
there's
still?
There's an additional space for each unit, and then I'd have to get an exact count as to how many we have in there for guest parking, but would you like that count?
Well, if you have it, but I realize you're not at that point in your application to the other boards that will review this, but.
Just for clarification, the ordinance requires one additional space for every five units as guest parking spaces when doing an apartment building.
So two per unit?
One per bedroom plus, it varies greatly with apartments, but it roughly breaks down to two per unit with the one for each, for every five units.
For guests?
For guests.
Oh, okay.
So with 96 units, that's, I can't do math that fast, but 19, it's 20 spaces.
Just trying to get a sense for what percentage of the parking you're moving under the buildings. So it's, you know, maybe 30, 40% of the parking, 40%, let's say, under the buildings.
No, we need 20. We have 16. We have 24 we would need. So we have four extra spaces at each building. So we're over parked, to be exact.
Have you looked at other layouts? Because it looks like the buildings are situated on the highest ground. And so you're arguing that the topography helps you from a visual standpoint here, but your buildings are also at the highest ground as opposed to some of the lower ground where they wouldn't.
Well, these buildings on the right start hitting some of the lower ground, but
okay. We
also have to take into account that that's where all the stormwater is going, which is why the pond is down there.
Speaking with
If you can make sure your mic's on.
The pond is located there for a reason, because that's where all of the water's flowing. We still have to manage that water to an extent. So if we start, if we put the buildings down there, you aren't managing your stormwater.
Right.
Where
the pond is. But I just wanted to know what other arrangements you had looked at to minimize the impact of the height. That's what I'm, you know, so that one of the other requirements of a variance is that you're asking for the minimum relief required, and you're arguing that the slope has an impact here. Mm-hmm. So I just want to understand how those are interacting with what you're laid out here.
Right, okay. I said okay to his...
We just turned up the volume.
Thank you. Other questions? Go ahead, Bill.
Dave, just for the record, the building height in a situation like this, is it measured from the average grade around the building?
That's exactly how it is measured. We measured from average finished grade to highest point of the building.
Okay. So if you have a slope, if you're looking at a side view and it's sloping down and you have an exposed basement, or in this case, parking, it's going to be middle of that grade, and then you're going to measure the height.
Yes, as the applicant mentioned, where the entry is to the underground parking will have a higher, the building will be viewed as higher by the township in that spot because the grade is lower than the rest of the building.
And if there's a retaining structure, if, let's say, instead of having an average grade down, if it's, let's say it slopes, you're looking at a side view and it slopes. If there's a retaining structure there, again, average grade, you're going from the front and then just dropping, and you're taking
to where the grade meets the building is where we measure. So if they have a retaining structure 3 feet off the building, we measure to the grade where the building touches the ground.
Okay.
Okay. Other questions? Tom?
I just have one more as far as clarification of the measuring the height of the building, the average. I'm sorry to do this to you, Dave. But so if I'm understanding properly, if the property is sloping from one side of the structure to the other side of the structure, downhill side. On the uphill side, the actual height from grade finished is going to be less than 53 feet, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Nardo, you heard the testimony or the argument of Attorney Scott with respect to the project that you're proposing, and you're in agreement with his recitation?
Correct.
Okay, no other questions? Okay, so seeing no other questions from the board at this moment, we may have others as members of the public have comment, and also maybe some things that you may want to respond to. So I'll ask you to maybe just hold those responses until we hear what input we have from the public.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we will open this up to testimony from members of the public. If you'd please come to the podium and state your name and address, please, for the court reporter will swear you in.
Good evening. My name is Tucker Hull. I'm here today as legal counsel for the Stone Creek Homeowners Association. Stone Creek is the development that is directly adjacent to the proposed development. I'm here on behalf of the association, which would like to be recognized as a party to the proceedings for the remainder of it and be entitled to ask questions and be included in to the extent there would be any appeal proceedings. I don't know if I have with me the HOA president. Want to go ahead and swear him in a while? Who will be giving testimony on behalf of the Homeowners Association.
So my name is Brian Prouchet. I live at...
My name is Brian Prouchet. I live at 1220 Auburn Avenue.
I'm sorry, what was the name of the Street?
1220 Auburn Avenue.
And how do you spell your last name?
P as in Paul, R-U-C-H-A.
So, Brian, without belaboring the issues that have already been identified and recognized by the board, if you just want to give the board your testimony as to why the Homeowners Association is opposed to the proposed variance.
You don't mind, I'm going to read from a statement here. Slow, I'll read nice and slow. All right. So I am the current president of the Stone Creek Homeowners Association, which represents 207 homeowners within the Stone Creek community. First off, I'd like to go on the record agreeing with whatever Attorney Hall says as part of this testimony. He'll likely mention seeking permission to exceed the building height by 34%. This is not a minor deviation. In my mind, it's simply unacceptable. As for my additional thoughts, I believe we have at least 16 duplex homes that would be severely impacted and irreparably harmed by this variance. These are essentially what look like one-story homes from the front that would simply be engulfed and towered over by four-story or even three-story buildings. The rest of the neighborhood, even the surrounding areas adjoining the neighborhood, are either one- or two-story residences. Building multi-story buildings is simply incompatible with the single-family residents that exist within Stone Creek and the adjoining lots that you see around that picture. As well as, quite frankly, all of Stone Creek, all 207 residences, and even the entire area around that around the previously Zell property. In closing, based on the severe negative impact to the area that this variance would have, I kindly request that you don't approve this variance.
Brian, I'm going to follow up with a few questions here for you.
Sure.
As follow-up to some of the testimony we heard from the applicant, the first question I have for you is we heard a lot about topography, and we're looking up here at the image which shows the proposed site layout with six buildings. Could you how would you describe the topography of the lots and the building, the proposed buildings as they relate to the existing homes in Stone Creek?
Sure. So if you look at where the buildings are being proposed, they're essentially very close to the homes in the Stone Creek neighborhood. You see the berm that they talked about that's there with mature growth. We've actually planted some new growth there to try to make it fuller. But the reality is you can see right through that berm, right to the property. And the folks that live there have obviously, a lot of them have lived there a long time, and they're used to the Zell property and the buildings that are there. But to simply decide to place all of your new development right up against the property line is not a way to make the community better. You're essentially building four-story buildings right across from one-story buildings, so they essentially have no, they're just looking at a building. So we talk about parking, we talk about buildings. You're essentially ruining the entire aspect of those residents that live around that property by building tall buildings in this area, of which I don't believe there's any tall buildings like that in the entire area that we're talking about.
Brian, would you agree that the buildings as proposed would actually be sitting at a similar elevation to the homes that currently exist?
Not at all. And I don't know why the applicants mentioned that. We're talking about towering over existing buildings. Residents have been there a long time, now looking at new development that essentially is blocking their whole backyard.
We also heard testimony about the height of the trees that are on the berm there. What height would you estimate are those trees?
Unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to estimate the height, but I do know that a lot of those trees are in need of repair, and part of the Homeowners Association sort of long-term is to look for opportunities to replace those trees and do things to make a berm that's more appealing to the community. But by no means is it blocking any view of the Zell property as it stands today.
Thanks, Brian. There's all the questions I have for you now. The board, I certainly have a few arguments I'd like to make, but I would pause before I do that.
Dave, do you have a topographic map of that? A lot of people are just throwing out generic things, but if we have a 2-foot, 5-foot, or even 10-foot topographic map, it would.
Dave, if you go to the Dauphin County website,
things
it should have it there. Yep.
So it looks like they are 5-foot contours.
No.
All right, so 5-footers.
But I will say that this does not look accurate as far as
yeah, it wouldn't be accurate because I heard in testimony that there was a 40-foot relief, and that looks to me like it's 10-foot.
I don't know if those are
5-foot contours.
Those are useful. Does
so here just.
David, just for everyone's benefit, can you indicate what you're showing there as you're showing it?
So this is Google Earth of the property. We are now in street view, showing from Middletown Road at the Swatara Creek intersection what the topography looks like from the actual street. So here is the southernmost part of the property along Swatara Creek Road. When you go to the east, you follow the stream bed along the property line and the right-of-way line for Middletown Road. Where the buildings are proposed are where the mouse is pointing up and around this side. So taking it at this angle, let's see. I'm going to intentionally exaggerate the slope. So this is an exaggerated slope to illustrate difference in slope, difference in height. So the property is where the mouse hand is. You can see the farmhouse and the barn. So this gives a better representation of what the topography looks like on the site.
Just to clarify, why is the exaggerated slope a better representation of the topography? It seems like it's 3 times exaggerated. So I just want to make sure we're all looking at a fair representation.
Yes, the exaggeration.
The exaggeration is of the slope, not the elevation. He's trying to create a contrast so we can see the difference between the existing houses and the property. So it looks like, and we don't have numbers on it, but the existing houses seem to be at the highest point of the topography in that area. It obviously slopes from northeast to southwest, and that's why the basin is down about where that hand is. So, yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Did you have additional questions or testimony?
I do not have any. We have no additional witnesses. There are members, I think, of the other residents of the community on behalf of the HOA. This is the only witness we have.
So okay.
If I could, thank for you. The Homeowner Association president, a couple quick questions. Sure. You said there's 207 or 270?
207.
207.
Yep.
Okay. And did you poll all 207 to see how many by percentage were opposed to or didn't really care?
I have not polled them, no.
And I imagine all these people here are part of the Homeowner Association tonight?
That's correct. Those who maybe raise their hands.
Thank you.
All right, I think I appreciate the board's approach at the beginning to identify the that you understand the nature of the issue. And so not to waste everybody's time, I think the critical issue here is that the applicant has acknowledged that they can develop this site in strict conformity with the applicable zoning requirements. And for that reason, really, the request for a variance should fail as a matter of law. Beyond that, we're not talking about what the law would consider a de minimis variance here. We're talking about a 34% increase in height, which would result in these buildings really towering over the neighboring residential properties. I think really invading the privacy of the neighboring properties and really fundamentally changing the nature of this area, and especially the impact on the homes that are directly adjacent to the proposed development. So I just think we would just close with that. From a legal perspective, we think the applicant has acknowledged that they can comply, and as such, the board should deny the variance request. So thank you very much.
Before you depart, I have one question. If the applicant proposed a development in strict accordance with the ordinance and had 40-foot buildings above average grade, 8 buildings, and went to max impervious, would you guys be in opposition to this development anyway?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I have a question then.
Yeah, please. We can only accept testimony when you're at the podium. So I think, if you would please
speak from, address as a, that as from a president perspective, yes, we would be opposed to it.
Okay.
I have a question if I could.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom. But I just want to clarify. Let me hang on one second. If you want to respond to something that's been asked, you can certainly present your testimony in that regard. But I just want to make clear that only testimony is presented under oath at the podium, is considered in the record. So go ahead, Tom.
Was the property made for sale before the current owners bought the property?
I think, Mr. Nardo, we were going to have you respond to all of those questions and things after everybody from the public.
All right, I'll hold my question. I'll hold my question. Thank you.
But if there's a response from the...
Yeah, Tom, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking the I'm not sure how to pronounce your name.
That's okay. Yeah. Prouchet.
I thought you were asking him that question.
I was asking anybody who knew if the property was for sale before the current owners.
He should answer
that. Oh, I'm sorry.
We can have Mr. Nardo come back.
Yeah. Was there a for sale sign there? Yes.
Had the association considered buying it to protect it?
Actually, we have.
They had?
We have.
No, before the current owners bought it.
There was discussion within the board to determine whether or not we had the opportunity to look at the property, yes.
And they didn't buy it?
We did not.
Thank you.
Anything further for us before we take a seat?
Anything else? Mm-hmm. No. Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so if there's any other members of the public that wish to testify, please come forward. And Mr. Nardo and Scott, we will have an opportunity for you to answer other questions or provide any further testimony.
Hi, my name is Rob Mascalis. Live at 2471 Zell Court.
I'm sorry, but you're a little tall. Would you mind holding your microphone?
How's that?
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. And can you spell your name for us,
please? Sure, it's Muscalus, first name Robert.
And I'm sorry, your address again?
2471 Zell Court. I do. First, I want to thank all of the members of my neighbors and friends in the back for being here and standing in opposition to this variance. I just want to mention, I think, three things. As I listened to the argument for the variance, I thought, why were not all of those issues addressed before purchasing the property or as part of the purchase itself? It sounded like the property was purchased and now there's a desire to look for a variance in order to put the number of units there to make it profitable. That's what it sounded like. Number two, that variance, I believe, is going to significantly change the quality of life for me and for my neighbors, especially those that are on the border of that property. My understanding is that the added height will really result in a towering, if you will, to the backs of our properties. What wasn't mentioned is the property, certainly along Zell and on the other western side, that would border these units are where we have our decks, screened-in porches, and most of the bedrooms in those units are on that side of those buildings. And therefore, those new units at that height, I believe, would significantly impact the privacy that we have. So with regard to the quality, I think that that would have a significant impact. So those are my comments. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Before we swear you in, I'm just going to ask the board to interrupt me or to if you have questions rather than stopping to check after each speaker. Okay, thank you. All right, go ahead, please.
Nancy Sajewski, 2147 Cary Way. S A J E S K I.
I'm sorry, one more time.
S is in Sam. A J E S K I.
And your address?
2147 Cary, C A R E Y, W A Y. I do. I agree with the gentleman in front of me, so I won't repeat that. Cary Way is the west side of the proposed development. We are probably the closest duplex. And because of the height, we are the ones that are going to be staring at 53 feet of some blank building. Because we're so close, we will no longer see the sun in our sun porch or our bedroom or our living room or our lower level. But because we are duplexes, we only have windows on the front of the house, the side of the house, and the back of the house. So that is really going to limit the amount of light that we get in our house. And so that's all I have to say. Any questions? Thank you.
No, thank you.
Richard Sheffield, I live at 2441 Zell, Z-E-L-L Court. I do. My wife and I moved to Stone Creek about 7 years ago in retirement. Used to live in Manhattan. I wasn't expecting to be here discussing a big tower in the back of my property, but we live on Zell Court. If I could have the other drawing back up there. Going clockwise, building number four, three or four, one of those two, up at the top of the picture, would be practically in my backyard. It would cut off a good deal of light. There's been a lot of conversation and a lot of sort of vague discussion of differentials in height. I'm still trying to figure out why anybody would have bought this property without considering the issues that we're here discussing, but someone did. And I went out this afternoon and I stood in my backyard. And over the 8-foot berm, I can barely see the roof of the 48-foot high barn because that's how steep the drop-off is. The barn doesn't show up, but they want to put these new apartment buildings right along the edge of the berm, which means that basically when I look out of my sunroom, I'm going to be looking at the top three floors, if not the entire four floors, of the apartments that they're talking about putting in place. I was rather taken aback that no one's done elevation drawings to show or to prove the kinds of things that have been discussed tonight. We're just sort of talking about it and looking at Google Maps. All you got to do is go out there and look at that property to realize that they're walling off a good part of Cary and Zell Court, properties that had been there for a long time. And in terms of the things that have to be met in order for a variance to be provided, it seems to me that any notion that there's an unnecessary hardship here is entirely wrong. That property was on the market for a while. The people who want to develop it bought the property, looking at it, and now they're coming with a proposal to say we have an unnecessary hardship because we bought a property that won't accommodate what we want to do. I don't think that's fair to the community. I don't think it's fair to the county. To me, it simply makes no sense. In some ways, and I apologize if it offends somebody, but it's like we're here discussing a pig in a poke. We really don't have a good sense of what this is going to do to this neighborhood, and I would hope that we would try to have a better sense of it before we grant any variance of this sort. I'm in opposition. I agree with what's come before me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony.
My name is Terry Novchich, N like in Nancy, O, V as in Victor, C-H-I-C-H, and N as in Nancy, O, V as in Victor, C-H-I-C-H. And my husband and I live at 2421 Zell Court. Yes. My husband and I have lived there for 18 years. And not to belabor the points that have been made, we're in full agreement to oppose this variance. If you have not already, I would encourage you to drive to this piece of property because I don't think the maps give you an appreciation for the topography of this particular piece of property. I know we're just talking about variance today, but there are many other issues that come into play should this project move forward with regard to the ability to even excavate down the land that needs to be excavated to be able to build and what sort of ramifications that would have. I doubt that a berm that it currently exists would be adequate enough to hold back what excavation would need to be done. So. Again, I encourage you to please take a look, drive out and take a look at the lot if you've not done so already. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, my name is Jane Erickson, E-R-I-K-S-O-N. I live at 2459 Zell Court. Been there for 18 years. And I went out and actually took some pictures. Oh, I'm sorry. I do. I took some pictures of this berm. This is from my back screened-in porch that shows the pine trees and the trees back there are not going to shield anything. The barn that they propose to keep is here. They're going to put apartments between that barn and that berm. That's not a lot of room. And again, I'll echo what everyone else has said, that we're going to have four-story buildings with people looking down into our bedrooms. It's just not something that I would like to see.
Would you mind sharing that with us? Is this a copy we could hold, or otherwise we could ask?
I'm happy to keep it.
Are they all the same? Or
yeah,
you have other pictures?
I only printed one. My printer ink was going.
Can you bring the microphone over?
So I've circled my house here. Unfortunately, it's in dark ink.
Oh, right here.
And okay. That's the vantage point that I took the picture from.
Can we keep these for the record?
You certainly may. Thank you.
Megan, should we make copies of those quick to give the applicant to review?
Yes, we can share that with the applicant and make copies for them. Can you give us a second while we're looking at the pictures? Okay.
Tom Sarnberg.
Yeah.
Okay, well, go ahead and continue now. Thank you for your patience. We just want to make sure we got that in the record. So.
Sure, sure. So I hope I'll be allowed to speak. My name is Thomas. I'm here with my wife tonight, Elizabeth. We live at Stone Creek Drive.
What is your last name? Stone Creek Drive,
1280. Yeah, I don't wish to enter that into the public record. I don't mind sharing it with you folks privately, and I don't mind sharing it with the petitioner, but I don't wish to enter that into the public record. My name is Thomas.
Well, you're...
I don't mind giving you my driver's license, but I just don't want it in the public, in the record that goes on the internet.
It's going to be in the...
Yeah, anything said here is public record. That's the reality.
My name is Thomas.
Okay, but that's the reality.
Which is accurate.
Okay, but unfortunately, the reality is to accept testimony here... We need to know who that testimony is from. So, I don't know, Megan, you may want to weigh in on this. We haven't had this issue before, yeah, so.
I have to say, we've never had this issue. I'm not sure how we proceed without having your last name. I mean, because we can look up where you're living and find out your last name to put it into the decision.
Yeah, that's right. That's fine. You can do that. I don't mind. As I said, I'm happy to share with you folks privately, as well as with the petitioner, my full contact information, cell phone number, address, et cetera. But I don't want it. I don't want somebody to be able to Google search for my name and find out exactly where I live.
Well, the decisions are public record, and so somebody could look and find the decision that we ultimately write and have your name and address there. So. You need to be aware of that if we proceed.
I'm happy to give testimony, but my name is Thomas, and that's my wife, Elizabeth, and that's as much as I'm going to give you.
And are you going to give us your address?
Yes. 1280 Stone Creek Drive. So hold on.
We need to have that decision. Will you share with me your driver's license?
Sure.
And we'll share it with you then too.
May I approach?
Yes, please.
Yeah, this isn't that formal. We're a quasi-judicial body, not a court. Yeah, let's go ahead and swear.
Hold on.
We need our...
I didn't hear what you said, ma'am, but... Oh, thank you.
Okay, can we swear Thomas in then?
Yes.
I do. So on the variance request form, the petitioner has been asked to identify in writing the unique physical circumstances or conditions that create a need for the requested variance. There has been no need for the variance demonstrated. The petitioner has been asked to explain in writing why the property under review cannot be developed in strict conformity with the provisions of the applicable zoning ordinance. The petitioner has acknowledged as much that it could be developed in strict conformity with the provisions of the applicable zoning ordinance. The petitioner has been asked to defend in writing that the granting of the variance would, quote, not alter the essential character of the neighborhood or zoning district in which the property under review is located. In the interest of full disclosure, I will acknowledge that the words under review is not in the language of the text. None of those vital instructions have been followed by the petitioner, an omission that hints that even the petitioner recognizes that those conditions do not, in fact, exist. In substitution, the petitioner has submitted a statement saying that the applicant desires to create a park-like setting for residents to utilize and enjoy. I apologize. I'll go more slowly. The petitioner has submitted a statement that reads, the applicant desires to create a park-like setting for residents to utilize and enjoy. However, my contention, my testimony, is that that atmosphere already is achieved on the lots under review with merely one pre-existing dwelling present. The sardining of 95 additional proposed dwellings onto the property would undermine the stated goal of the petitioner. The petitioner posits a premise that such an excessive number of dwellings must be constructed on the site by building out or by building up, but the third and proper way to build the site under review is smaller, that is to say fewer units. The land under review is not sufficiently large and free of easements to accommodate so many dwellings without creating a miniature concrete jungle within suburbia. There are no other residences along the Middletown Road corridor that come close to the height that's proposed. This is a great departure from the vision that has been laid out by the planners of the community. The atmosphere engendered by the proposed towering construction, in my opinion, emulates that portrayed in Virginia Lee Burton's classic children's story, The Little House. The petitioners also failed to explain why the sites under review should be the site of such extreme construction as is proposed, when abundant other alternative properties nearby along Middletown Road could better accommodate tall buildings without blighting existing neighborhoods. If there's questions as to where those exist, they are principally just south of the Pennsylvania 283 interchange, which is not far geographically from the territory that we're looking at. Notwithstanding all of that, if they were to build to a height of just two stories plus attic above grade, while truly preserving a park-like setting, I would be agreeable to supporting that. I do also want to point out that since it's been emphasized that the zoning board's request, or the decision, I should say, under consideration tonight is whether to approve the zoning, forbearance, the allowance of violating the rules. Forgive me, I've forgotten the term now. That once that permission is given, presumably there's nothing stopping petitioner from building eight buildings to that height. Just because they say here their intention currently is to build six, once the permission is given to violate it, there's nothing, why not build 8, 10, 12 buildings there, as long as it doesn't exceed the maximum number of people per square foot or whatever that can be put there. So there's really no locking them into a particular way of building. I also believe that by building along the row of trees that are there, I think that's what's been referred to as a berm, but I apologize, that's not in my vocabulary as a word. essentially they're building up on top of a hill. If you want a building to be seen, you're going to build it on top of a hill. Then it can be seen from everywhere. And then here, right on top of a hill, they're going to ask to build it even taller, so that it can be. I mean, this is not presumably the stated purpose of it. So it can be seen for even further. But it just doesn't make any sense. If they wanted a variance of height, then they should build elsewhere on the property where it's lower, so it doesn't as much affect the line of sight of others. But that's not what they're asking to do, they claim.
Could you please try to wrap up?
Yes.
Thank you.
I think I've said my piece.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.